This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Super Daycast. I'm Joel Abraham, joined by Damon McDonald. I'm a bit worried about the long-term sanity doing this podcast, Damon.
Yeah.
After last week. Last week, we were sort of teetering on the edge of madness, I felt.
I listened. First, let's just talk about, for a moment, the amount of feedback that we got from that one bit of about 5 minutes of audio. Where things kind of went off the rails, and I listened to the show. I do listen to every single show. I listen to it at least once because I want to hear sound quality, and plus I find us incredibly entertaining. So I listened to that. I had a train ride. I had to go to Washington, D.C., and I listened to that probably, I'm not kidding, probably 15 times, just that one segment of audio where we lose our minds laughing, and I laugh just as hard every time listening to it. So thank you for all the positive feedback. It was a show of that will go down in history on the Super J-Cast. Loved it. Had so much fun doing it. Maybe the most fun I ever had doing a show. But, yeah, it was completely off the rails. And New Japan needs to come back in the worst way because we lost it. And we're about to lose it again.
I mean, I've been telling Mally that about these shows being cancelled, and she's like, why are you still doing a podcast? But I feel like we have a duty to the people. It's a public service, isn't it, to keep spirits up in these dark days, to give you guys something to listen to, even if it's very, very tenuously connected to New Japan Pro Wrestling at the moment.
I know. There's a part of me that's like, should we just review other shows? Should we? But here's the thing. I like the lane that we're in. You know what I mean? I like the fact that we talk about this promotion in, you know, current day. And I saw somebody tweet like, well, you said you weren't good at Classic. And it's not that we don't understand it and we haven't watched shit. And I've watched everything. Trust me, I got fucking video.
To be fair, I think that person was talking about me. Like, my historical knowledge is obviously not great. So yeah. I think they were saying that could be a good opportunity for me personally to brush up on my New Japan history. Because obviously you...
I've watched it.
Much greater.
Well, I've watched it, right? And there's a big difference between being able to watch and retain information, which I cannot. And I get dates mixed up, and I get fucking, you know, I get it mixed up all the time. I don't remember shit. But I know I've watched a lot of it. Let's put it that way. I'm sure there's shit that somebody can show me and be like, I never saw that. But or I don't remember watching it anyway. But again, my issue is I don't remember all the fucking dumb shit that I've watched. So I think, well, why don't we jump into the news and the announcements that I woke up to just minutes ago with New Japan, unfortunately, putting the hold on any further shows till, when was the date? The end of March?
Yeah, the tweet says, in response to the coronavirus outbreak, NJPW events for the remainder of the New Japan Cup between March 16th and 21st have been cancelled.
Sucks.
So, no more New Japan Cup. We're looking Tsuruku Genesis at the earliest, and even that's still uncertain, isn't it? Yeah. I just want to see this... No, let me rephrase that, because I'll get in trouble for saying this. Do you think this is going to... No, because that's not connected to our podcast. I want WrestleMania to get cancelled, Damon. Fuck it, I've said it. I want WrestleMania cancelled. I want AEW cancelled, all those shows cancelled. I want Liverpool to have to win the Premier League in front of an empty stadium,
right,
with no fans.
Right.
I just want everyone else's enjoyment to be ruined as well as mine.
Right. We're taking a big hit here, and we want others to feel our pain. Oh, look, I mean, there's a lot of shit that's being cancelled. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Joel, but there were only a handful of independent promotions in Japan that actually were running. And I think a lot of that has to do with the infrastructure of their promotions, the fact that they're willing to run shows in empty arenas. But here's the thing. The arenas, you know, when these events get canceled, it's not only the participants in the event. So whether it's a hockey game or a basketball game or a wrestling event or gymnastics or whatever, it's the fucking people that have to rip the tickets and sell the beer and clean up after you animals. You know what I mean? Like, it's that. That's a huge issue. And the buildings don't want that on their minds. And unfortunately, here's what it is. When a government, you know, governing body, we'll call it, makes a statement of, yeah, you know, it would be best if you guys, again, not personally New Japan, but just events in general shut down, you know, what are you going to do? You're not going to go against that. You're not going to be the rogue and the rogue general, if you will, and do that. It's just there's no win there. There is zero win there. I mean, and you got Italy basically shutting down the entire country. It's a weird time to do a New Japan Pro Wrestling podcast. I will say this. I would be concerned if I had a ticket in Tampa for those events. I have an event in Austin, Texas next month, early April, that I have to go to. I think it's less than a 50% chance that this is even happening. They canceled South by Southwest in Austin, Texas. That is a massive music festival. I mean, it is days, and it's not just one venue. It's every venue that could possibly find, and they create venues to have bands play just about all day long. Massive, canceled. They canceled San Jose Sharks hockey games. Canceled. Look, it's a big deal, and you can't, pardon the pun, you can't sneeze at it. It's a big deal, and New Japan can only do what they can do. And trust me, they would love to run shows, but their hands are tied.
Let me transition to a question from Matt McEwen, who says, who's benefiting the most from the forced time off, injury, recovery, etc., and who's suffering the most from lost momentum, etc.?
That is actually a great question. That is a great question. There are lots of guys. Look, if you ask any one of them, I'm sure each and every one of them, two sides of their brains are talking. The one that is the competitor of, keep going, I need, you know, I want the paydays, I want to, you know, work. And it's hard to find dates at the last minute, especially, this is all around the world, mind you. So it's not like, oh, well, there's an event in England, and I'll just get on the jet and hop over and get on that show, and that'll be that. Or there's, you know, there's two shows, in one in Baltimore and one in Philly, and I could drive, you know. That's not happening. You know what I mean? Like, people, you know, to get on shows and to travel, this is a worldwide thing. The other half, you got to think that at least for some of these guys, a couple days off, you know, where it's, you have to take off and you can hit the gym and you can, but a little time for recovery, a little time for rest, it's got to be a part of them in the back of their head that they're kind of, again, not enjoying, I wouldn't say that, but you know, sometimes if you're looking for a silver lining, it might be that these guys get to take a little bit of a time out and rest and not put their bodies through the grind. Who would benefit least and most, or who would lose momentum the most?
Yeah, so double question. The first was, who is benefiting in terms of being able to have a rest? Right. And who is losing out in terms of losing momentum? I'd say for the first one, a guy I want to talk about later, about the documentary that was recently uploaded to World, is Okada.
Yeah.
Who, when I watched that, I was wincing. I was like, Jesus Christ. And it really hit home. And I'm sure he's not the only one. But he looked like he was suffering. Yeah. He was in a lot of pain. He could barely sleep. And I don't know if that there's any correlation between that and the quality of his in-ring work. I mean, I wouldn't have guessed so watching that G1. You know, there are a ton of matches that I thought were fantastic from Okada during that G1. So certainly for him to be able to have a chance to rest up will be great. And I'm sure that applies to lots of others as well.
Yeah. I mean, look, that athletic tape, you know, that holds shoulders together, can take a break for just a little bit. And you knew this was going to be a grueling tournament, and they were psyched for it, and they were prepared for it. Again, they knew what they were getting themselves into. It was a great line that we like to steal from Airplane. But it might be a blessing in disguise where these guys get to heal up. And yeah, I would recommend, if you're, again, got the New Japan itch that needs to be scratched, I cannot recommend enough that documentary on Okada and kind of a little bit behind the scenes and a little bit pulling back the curtain of exactly what these men and women go through and put their bodies through to perform at such a high level. I mean, the shots that he was getting, like those cortisone shots, just, again, watching him crawl in and out of bed was, and again, this is not a 50-year-old guy. This is not a guy who, you know, has put in his years and, you know, has had a rough, he's in, you know, what, early 30s at this point, late 20s, early 30s? That's you know, that's the prime of your life, right? And the dude can barely get out of bed some days. It was an eye-opener. And again, the passion that he has and the commitment that he has, and dare I say, even the vulnerability that he has, I think was all on display in this doc. And I, once again, I New Japan is, to me, and for the longest time, has been a company that I absolutely adore the work that they do with these types of pieces. And I always credit WWE for when they do these type of things. Like those WrestleMania 24-hour things, you know, they spend the day with a certain person. Those are always really good, too, and entertaining and just interesting. And this was a home run. So, again, if you're looking for an itch, I can't recommend enough, if you haven't watched it, that Okada piece. It was top-notch and New Japan. More of that. Like, more of that kind of content. And you'll be hitting home runs left and right.
Yeah, there was something very haunting and maudlin and this sort of feeling of melancholy about it. A person that you think is this larger-than-life, wacky, happy-go-lucky, bubbly character, just looking really lonely and tired and fed up, yeah. Just going from town to town, trying to get through it and, you know, put on the best show that he can to send the fans home happy. But just, you know, when the camera turns off and when he's, like you said, crawling backstage, it's just a very different story. And yeah, they did a brilliant job with that. And it reminded me of that series they put out a couple of years ago. I think it was called On the Road, when they had these little featurettes with guys like Juice, there was one with Elgin, there was one with Tama Tonga. I think there are a few others. I can't remember off the top of my head, but they were outstanding as well. So I would love to see more things like that. Back to Matt's original question then, is there anyone who you think is losing out for momentum? I mean, I guess whoever was penciled in to win that New Japan Cup,
yeah.
And we won't know who that is unless they really shuffle things about and have the New Japan Cup maybe in place of Don Takuto or whatever it was going to come next. But
you know what? I'm gonna completely wimp out. But I think I have a valid point here. I think the company as a whole, you know, we've sat here and we've talked about how 2020 felt like a fresh start. Everything is exciting. All the different programs that they had in the works between, you know, Moxley and Zach and Dangerous Techers and Tanahashi and Ibushi, you know, the idea of Hiromu and Naito, just and the list goes on and on, right? How fun and exciting and fresh and on a roll New Japan was coming out of Wrestle Kingdom. I mean, we were talking about how exciting and energetic it felt a couple months in, right after Wrestle Kingdom. I think the promotion as a whole, everything, firing on all cylinders, it felt like, you know, to take off a month, not have shows, not have that storyline, you know, in front of you, front and center. Wow. I mean, I'm not saying we're dead in the water here by any stretch. But the reality is that, yeah, I mean, that like the entire promotion, top to bottom, had really interesting, fun things. And it's almost like, okay, we got to kind of kickstart this, and we got to kickstart it fast. And, you know, from a booking perspective, I mean, do you just pick up where you're left off, and how do you connect the dots? Missing a month. Think about this, Joe. We're in a really historic time here. And I thought back to when the tsunami occurred back in, you know, early 2000s. How many shows were missed, and how many shows, and what that tragedy did to pro wrestling as a whole. And again, I don't know. I can't sit here and say that we're in that same mindset, you know, of comparing that tragedy to this virus right now. But, you know, how many shows were missed? How did this impact the company financially? I'd be curious to hear some history on that. That might be something I'd love to learn a little bit more about, how that tragedy impacted pro wrestling. I don't want to say we can learn from that, but I'd just be curious as to how that impacted pro wrestling in general.
And I guess if you look last year at the King of Pro Wrestling show, and this is something that I think was wasted on a lot of forum viewers, but following the, what was it? Was it a typhoon that devastated the country?
Yeah.
There was this real sort of feel-good atmosphere at King of Pro Wrestling, sort of defiant in the face of adversity, and everyone had a great time there, and it cleaned up. It did quite well at the Tokyo Sports Awards, if I remember correctly. So I'm just really excited to see what the first show looks like coming back from this, because everyone is going to be absolutely gagging for some New Japan Pro Wrestling, us included, and I think there's an opportunity for a real memorable moment there.
Yeah. You know, this impacts everybody there. You know, we're talking a lot about the guys in the ring, but there are workers, you know, in social media, and workers in those production pieces, and workers for the networks, and workers in...
Even the people making the chicken nuggets at Korakuen Hall.
Yes, and they're delicious. they're being wasted. Again, but yes, that is true. The vendors, I mean, the beer people, the people in merchandising, the people booking the buildings, they're all kind of... I mean, I'm sure they're trying to find busy work and shit for them to do, but... It's kind of hard to do shit when there ain't shit going on. So, again, they're not shutting down. We're not. But again, I think a month's worth of shows that people were excited for. It's going to be a fun start. I will say this: you're right. That first show back will be pretty amazing. I think everybody will be just really pumped up. But we got another 2 weeks where we're here, right? And we're waiting, and we're going to see what happens.
Violent Skipping asks, do you know who on the roster doesn't have a full-time contract, and how big is the risk that some jump ship if shows continue to be suspended in Japan while still being permitted in the US?
Here's the problem. I don't know if they're going to make it to the US. They're going to fly into the US. And that's what I'm worried about, the Tampa stuff. Again, I would say that is thin ice on a term that we can use here, Joel, for those?
Yeah, I think that this Violent Skipping is asking about people who are not under contract actually going to sign a contract with other promotions, like, you know, sign for a WWE or AEW or Impact or whatever.
I don't know. I don't think. I don't see it being that. Look, I think AEW's got to be concerned, right? I think every promotion in the United States, you know what? The United States, correct me if I'm wrong, Joel. I mean, again, I'm not up on my data when it comes to this. But the United States is, it's actually growing here. Whereas in Japan, maybe it's the I wouldn't say they have a hold on it, but it feels like it's a little bit more under control than it is here in the States. Here in the States, you wake up and every day that number keeps growing and growing and growing and growing of confirmed cases and deaths. They're shutting down shit left and right in the States. Again, I got a memo. So again, I do the sports thing, right? And every game, I have access to locker rooms. So after the game, they have to open the locker room doors, and media has access to the players 10 minutes after the game for the NHL. Different rules for different leagues, but you have access. That's gone. We are no longer allowed to go in. 20 years I've been doing this. Never has this happened, where access has been denied. And again, we have to go to a separate room, and they bring it out to the podium, and blah, 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 blah. It just never happened. They're canceling games. They're canceling events. So, again, AEW has the same concern. So, I don't think this is a Japanese thing where, okay, well, this is just happening here, and I'm going to go wrestle for this. Trust me, if you think AEW is not sitting here with their, you know, eyes glued to the TV of, okay, so we have an event. Is this a highly, you know, contagious area where we have our next show? And I don't even know where their next show is, but you know that's a thought that they have to have. And trust me, WrestleMania, they're thinking the same thing in every one of those independent shows. So it's not like a guy who's under contract or not under contract with New Japan, you know, has a ton of options right now when it comes to, okay, I'm just going to get in a plane and go work for X promotion. I don't really think those are options right now because everything's getting shut down.
Seeing Stardom run their No People Gate, would you like to see New Japan run empty arena shows?
Yeah, I would. And that does mean extra pressure for the people in the ring to put on, you know, entertaining pro wrestling. We always talk about how a crowd can make a match. You ain't got a crowd, so that's a definite difficult ask to do. But I think they could do it. I think they have the talent to do it. You know what I mean? Like if I was going to trust any promotion to do something like that, I'd give New Japan the shot. But again, I think it's more to do with the building, securing the building, the people working the building. The production crews. I know they've done it, you know. I just don't know if that's, I don't want to say worth the hassle, but is it worth the hassle?
I'm just wondering like how many people are looking at this situation and thinking, oh, well, I'll cancel my New Japan World subscription for now and then pick it up again when the shows start. I can see that they are making an effort to put stuff on World, but there's no substitute for live, fresh wrestling, is there?
There isn't, but look, I am not – New Japan Pro Wrestling doesn't give me a fucking dime. A dime. So please know that when I say this. Trust me. If they could shut me down, they would they'd be thrilled. So fucking throw my microphone out a window. Support them. If you got the $9.99, let it ride. There's plenty of good pro wrestling on that archive that you can watch and sit through and wrap your head around. There's lots. There's lots of content. And they're putting new stuff up every day. And really, it sounds to me and it feels like that's their goal, you know, for these 2 weeks is to get – I mean, they got those talk shows that will eventually be
I was going to ask you about those. Have you watched those 2 hours of Hiromu and Naito talk show?
No, I haven't. But I'll tell you what. If
I tried. Well, I started. I watched like the first half hour of it. And Hiromu is very extra. He's quite – exhausting to watch.
Yeah.
I love him. He's one of my favorite wrestlers. So I adore him in the ring, but outside the ring, him doing his shtick for 2 hours, I don't know. There's a lot of, even in the first 5 minutes, there's a lot of screaming and jumping and running around. And really? It's quite a lot. So I will try and persevere with it, because I think there's probably some interesting stuff there. But unless you're an LIJ super fan, I don't know how much people are going to be plowing through that.
Right. I mean, when they get the subtitles up, I might pop it on. But yeah, you know me.
How long is subtitles?
Is it already in? Okay. Yeah. Okay. How long do you think? I haven't watched. How long am I going to last with that nonsense before I turn it off?
10 minutes. I'll give you.
Really? You set the bar at 10? Okay. And then I'm like, fuck this shit. All right. Well, listen, it's something. I'm sure somebody will enjoy it. But there's plenty of shit on that network, right? I mean, watch something. Let it ride. But now might be a great time to buy a T-shirt. Again, they're not hurting. I mean, I'm talking about Bushiroad here, who's got a couple extra coins. They got a couple extra shekels in their pocket. But I don't know. I just feel like we got to stay in a good frame of mind with this. Hey, listen, you don't have to do whatever the hell. You can do whatever the hell you want to do. But me personally, and I think Joel, I speak for Joel, we're trying to keep a positive frame of mind on this. And again, it's something that we like. It's something that we enjoy. It's something that we're really looking forward to. But let's make sure everybody's healthy and safe, and then we'll get the pro grabs rocking and rolling.
Yes, try to keep the energy up here. I've got my snacks, my drinks. Just trying to stay cheerful here. Have you ever tried Iron Brew?
No, is that like a coffee?
It's a Scottish soda, pop, soft drink, as you guys might say. It's quite difficult to describe. It's bright orange and it's kind of fruit flavoured, but it is uniquely Scottish. So I was very excited to find a can of that in one of the supermarkets here in Bangkok. I got my mystery flavoured Pringles, which are always interesting. I think these ones are lasagna flavour. I can taste a bit of tomato, a bit of cheese, a bit of basil in there. And I'm also excited because just down the road from me, a Taco Bell opened yesterday.
Really?
And there's a Carl's Jr. opening very, very soon. So I think, Damon, when this podcast is done, I'm going to go and check out some Taco Bell. Have you got any recommendations for me?
All right. So at one point in my life, when I was a poor youngster, older teen, young 20s, yeah, I mean, I would live on that shit because it was cheap and somewhat good. I'm a big fan of I don't know if you can get them, some Mexi Melts. Mexi Melts were always great. It was melted cheese, a little pico. That was always good. I like the steak tacos, safe steak soft tacos. I think those are passable for fast food. I would start there. My wife always gets the chalupa. She loves a chalupa. I don't like them too. I don't like the shell. But yeah, I mean, those are good starts. So I would go there, Joel. I think you might like the steak soft taco. Go there.
Cool. I will let you know. I'll send you some photos later.
Nice.
Back to that news then. JDM says, trying to find an upside. The best matchups won't be repeated as much. Something like Shingo Osprey 2 will be, quote unquote, saved from a New Japan Cup round one and protected until something like MSG. And I think the same applies for Naito versus Hiromu, because I know a lot of people are really upset that that match has been taken off the table. But I wonder if New Japan, like the booking committee, might be looking at the outpouring of grief following the cancellation of that match and thinking, this is a money match. Maybe this match deserves a bigger stage, maybe a Dominion or, dare I even say, a Tokyo Dome.
I mean, that would be a gutsy move, to be honest with you. I would be shocked if they don't find a way to shoehorn that match somewhere, right? They would be silly not to. Yeah, you're right. I don't think I've heard as much sadness and disappointment in a match not happening than that. It really was amazing, the outpouring of people across the board that were like, oh, fuck. Was really looking forward to that. And that anniversary show was built off that main event. People were excited for it. So to me, I don't think they have to do anything, but I think they would be silly not to put that match somewhere on a show just to deliver it. And if they wanted to, they probably could put it on a decent sized show. Again, I don't know Tokyo Dome. I don't know Madison Square Garden. I don't know if that's going to be the right spot. But again, I'm sure there's room somewhere in this calendar year that we can find a way to put Hiromu and Naito one-on-one together.
I think you go long-term with it. You have like these opportunities popping up where you think, oh, there's a chance for them to do it here, but then they just miss each other. Like, let's say Hiromu enters the G1, but then loses at the final or something. You just have them just keep passing each other by and making people craving it, and then you deliver it much, much, much later.
I would love that. I think just keep teasing and teasing and teasing. I'll tell you what, between that and the idea of a very condensed New Japan Cup, I would have loved, if by some miracle they were able to say, you know what, we're good to go. We're going to cram this into, four nights or five nights, and it's, 16 guys. You know, they skim off some of the fat, and they just went balls out for five nights. Oh, how great would that have been? Shit. I mean, maybe they still do it. Maybe they find, I don't know. Again, I don't know the schedule as well. And, what this break does is it's going to eliminate a lot of the time off that they would have had later in the year. But, it's going to, if they could find a way to, let me ask you this, flat out, Joel. Is it New Japan Cup, no or yes, do you think we'll see any form of it this year?
I'm going to be optimistic and say yes.
Me too. I think they've, again, it might not be the same thing. It might not be, what do they have, 20-something? It's not going to be that, obviously. So it's going to be scaled down tremendously. But I don't know. Maybe they do some, I don't know. This might be a terrible idea, but some kind of lottery where they pick the top people. I don't know. You might see the cream of the crop in a quick sprint cup, just to get it done to move it forward. But here's the thing, Sakura Genesis is where somebody was going to get that shot, right? And it's impossible, right? I mean, I don't know how would they do it. We're fucked. Close it down. I saw the positivity I have. I can't do it anymore. This fucking blows. I can't stand it anymore. Stinks. It really does stink. Ugh. Again, it's not anybody's fault. I understand. But I think everybody can share this disappointment that I'm feeling right now.
So let's transition then, Damon, from one hard-hitting topic to another. I would like to talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling erotic fan fiction. How does that sound to you?
Jeez. I was hoping that one day we would be able to do this, and now here's the day. Thanks, New Japan, for no shows. I will be the first to admit, I don't think I like erotic fiction of any kind, except my own memoirs, of course, that I've written, of erotic tales and erotic conquests. Can you give me just the ideas here? We're taking New Japan Pro Wrestling wrestlers and stars.
Yeah. You remember that Ibushi Omega article I read last week? It's a bit like that, but slightly less ludicrous.
Okay. Right. All right, listen. I think I would love to explore this world of eroticism, and hopefully I can learn a little bit, right, about this subsection of fans that have guys jerking each other off. It's gonna be good.
Okay. So Nicole has told me that the best place to find this fan fiction stuff is a website called archiveofourown.org. So I went in there and I just typed New Japan Pro Wrestling into the search bar. Do you want to guess how many works popped up?
Oh, so this is a site that has multiple genres and fans of different things, not just New Japan.
Correct.
Wow, okay.
You can find fan fiction about pretty much anything.
Okay. Are they all sexual, mostly?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think there are little tags to indicate whether or not they are of a sexual nature.
Okay. All right. So it could be just a random story that would be... I mean, I'm not saying, of course, look, there is a little tongue-in-cheek going on here, but these people are writers that will create stories based off of characters that don't necessarily, like something that might happen behind the scenes, like a band sharing a car ride or something, and it doesn't have to always wind up.
You've done this before.
Yeah, well, my pen name is... No, I really haven't, no.
Joel and Damon on the road.
right. Damon leans over. No, I don't...
That could be set a challenge to someone write... no, actually, don't.
Yeah, you know what, too? No, I want to hear this. I want... That's not the end game in all this, Joel. The end game of this is not having people write fan fiction about us. That's not what we want.
The power of the extra song zeros kicked in as Damon's eyelids began to close and his head fell gently on Joel's shoulder amongst 40,000 screaming fans in the Tokyo Dome.
Right. Joel thinking, well, if he can't wake up for this, he won't wake up for this.
Let me go back to my original question. Right. I put in New Japan Pro Wrestling search on this website. How many works do you think come up?
I mean, listen, New Japan Pro Wrestling in and of itself isn't the most popular pro wrestling in the world. Sorry. I will say, like, all time, it gives you every one all time, correct?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to say there are 29.
Okay, I'm looking at 1 to 20 of 999 works.
What the fuck?
In New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Wow. So it's a whole... Well, here's the thing, too. I'm kind of surprised by the New Japan Pro Wrestling. I'm sure there's other pro wrestling works. I'm sure WWE has, you know, a trillion, right? Huh. I mean, here's the thing. You got a lot to play off of, right? You got a lot of, a lot of different wrestlers, a lot of different characters. You know, you can go a lot of different ways. I wonder what the grimiest Japanese pro wrestling company has fan fiction. Like, is there a Basara fan fiction? You know?
Hard hit. The erotic adventure.
You know what I mean? Right.
Erotic adventures at Shinjuku Face.
Right, there is a lot of little cubby holes you can get into. You know what I mean? I know that we have a purpose here, but can you just check to see if there is a Basara fan fiction section, please?
Okay, hold on a second. All right. Same Basara. There's a lot of stuff that's come up. 700 results, but I
don't think it's a wrestling game.
Know if these are wrestling. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it might be a little hard. It's like my wife likes the band Live.
So
and when you search for tickets for Live, it's like every other band comes up because Live is what, you know, but... All right. Very good. All right, so fan fiction, New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Oh. Yeah. Well, let's dip our toes into water here because the search results are coming up in chronological order. So just yesterday alone, there were two fan fictions uploaded, so I just like explorations, and the tags are Bushi/Takahashi Hiromu, pure smart, curious Hiromu, indulgent Bushi, just take a minute and look at Bushi's hands, fisting,
whoa,
it's a fisting fic, okay, whoa. LIJ are family, that's just the tags, Damon.
Wow.
the blur for this story, Hiromu is feeling a little curious, and Bushi is happy to indulge that curiosity.
Yes. Why is it always Bushi?
there's some really creative stuff here. In an alternate 2011, this is another story, the US was struck by an atrocity known only as the event, during which every major city was destroyed by an unknown force and millions of lives were lost. 1 year later, CM Punk returns to his beloved hometown of Chicago, only to find it completely devastated. With nothing left to lose, Punk will journey across the ruined landscape with best friend Colt Cabana by his side, his goal to find the woman he loves. and he's going to meet a lot of wrestlers on this journey.
Sure.
So there's just really a series of one shots. Zack Sabre Jr. one shots. A series of one shots featuring Zack Sabre Jr.
What does that mean? One shots.
Kenny Omega. I don't know. I don't know what that means. I'm scared to click on it.
Yeah, I know. Click on it right now. You need to click on that right now.
Okay, let's find out what one shots are. Here we go. Because I'm also curious to see what are some of the earlier ones that were uploaded. Okay. Right.
I'm going
to
guess.
This work could have adult content. If you proceed, you have agreed that you are willing to see such content. Proceed.
Hammer that, yep. All right.
This was the final straw. I couldn't take this anymore. Humiliation burns in the depths of my soul as they all laughed at me. Desperado's leash clasped around my neck as I helplessly clawed at it.
Uh-oh.
A surge of anger blew through me and I ripped the leash from Desperado's hands and ran from the locker room. As soon as I was in the hallway, I ripped the damn collar off and threw it on the ground before hurrying away from the Suzuki-Gun locker room. I was hallway down the hall when Zack finally came out of the room, hurrying after me with his long strides. Baby, he called, quickening his pace as I ignored him. Baby, where are you going? What's wrong with you? Are you getting the idea?
Yeah.
Or do you want me to fast forward to the smut?
I'll get to the smut, please. I mean, that's why we're all here, right? Come on.
Okay.
I'm
having to go to different pages here. You don't have to worry. I'm never going to touch you. Zack sneered at her. You've made your feelings quite clear, and I don't like to waste my time. Stepping around her, the trio continued on their way towards the Suzuki-Gun locker room. I'm intrigued now, Dave.
Me too. You think I'm kidding? I'm kind of like, all right. I mean,
this is good stuff.
Yes. Yeah, I'm more interested in this than any WWE storyline right now. Let's put it that way.
Just want to see what else they've got here.
Yeah.
Wrestling is our love language with Ibushi Kota, Kenny Omega, obviously.
Yeah.
We got an AEW here one. Ooh. Wildfire with Lance Archer, Chris Jericho, Sammy Guevara, Ortiz and Santana, Jake Hager. Domestic violence, stalking, mention of death or murder. Crikey.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh, out of the rain. Unrequited Adam Page / Kenny Omega.
Yeah.
Ibushi Kota, Kenny Omega. Hurt / comfort, cuddling and snuggling. Pining. Oh, we got one here with Robbie Eagles and Will Ospreay.
Oh, maybe. Here. You know what?
Naito. Now,
I want to read a little bit of the Robbie Eagles, Will Ospreay, if you don't mind, because there might be some people that might be interested in that, right?
I think we could do an entire show. This could be a whole podcast series. We could do one of these a week.
I don't.
Which we might have to, the way the wrestling's going.
Yeah, yeah, really. Seriously.
Robbie sighed in relief when he could finally let himself fall onto the hotel bed. They just had traveled for hours by bus, and basically every muscle in his body felt sore. So, I guess we're not going out today. Robbie looked to Will, eyebrows raised. Ooh. Seriously? Will laughed quietly before lying down next to Robbie. Nah, just taking the piss. Sharing one bed was not unusual for them. Nothing new. So that's just a little teaser there.
I know. I say we just do teasers of all these little articles. I swear to God, I want to see how that ends. I really do. I want to know.
I want to go look at some of the... What were the earliest ones? Because,
okay.
You know, I want to see when New Japan Wrestling erotic fan fiction really started. So yeah. The oldest one, this is going back to 2015. We've got Shinsuke Nakamura and Kota Ibushi. And tags, we've got Kota's disappointment about his initial loss to Shinsuke turns into a strange, passionate obsession. After Shinsuke defeats Kota again, Shinsuke gives Kota the opportunity to finally indulge his desire.
Oh.
So we've got tags here of alcohol, male / oral sex, anal fingering, rimming, and rough kissing.
Wow.
So there's an exciting... And what else have we got? We've got Kushida and Alex Shelley.
Yeah?
We have got...
Literal time splitters, if you know what I mean.
Ice cream. Ooh. Okada wakes up in the middle of the night with a craving for ice cream, which he can't resist indulging. And the tags here, we've got Kazuchika Okada / ice cream. Ice cream, eating, food, and cravings. So it seems that someone has written an entire fan fiction about Okada eating ice cream.
I say this in a... Is this an erotic tale? Is this a... Like, is that a fetish?
You want to hear it, don't you?
I do. I absolutely fucking do.
All right, let's go. I'll give you the first.
Yeah, give me a taste. Beginning of give it. Me a taste.
Okada felt his eyes blink open, but still saw only darkness. He blinked a few more times. Slowly, the outline of his bedroom came into view, illuminated only by the faint red glow of his digital alarm clock, blaring 4:02 a.m. Why was he up this early? He sighed, turned over, and closed his eyes. His stomach growled. That was when it all hit him. The phantom taste of ice cream filled his mouth, and he felt its overwhelming absence. He'd had it. It had been so close, creamy and cold and rich.
Yeah.
There was nothing else like it. So fulfilling, so satisfying. But now here he lay, alone in his bed, awake at this hour, so hungry, so empty.
Oh.
But he shouldn't. He knew he shouldn't. This is really good writing.
I'm not going to lie, Joel. I mean, you're reading it, and I'm kind of like, all right. I hope he gets this fucking ice cream. And he's sitting there. Pining. Is there a tag pining here? Because he's pining for his ice. You know us. You listen to us. We get it. You know. I don't know if I'm into it, but it is 1,000 times better than I thought going in. Let me be very clear. Like, that's not bad, right? I'm into. Give me one more. Come on, I'm excited now. Come on. Is there a Jushin Liger one?
What I wanted to do, I wanted to sort it by kudos, which appears to be some sort of rating system for you know, how much people enjoyed this. So the highest rated one is called Angels Fall Without You There. Oh. And we've got, just before the G1, Kenny Omega invites the Bucks to blow off some steam with him at Video Game Con. Halfway through the return trip, their private plane drops off radar. In a hotel room in Japan, Kota Ibushi wakes up in the middle of the night from a dream he doesn't remember. These two events are connected.
Shit. This is, I mean, look, you got to give it to these people. They're creative, you know, they get their, you know, they're not, look, again, I went into this thinking this was going to be just an absolute horror show. And while, you know, listen, the anal fisting, I personally could do it out. I mean, that's just me, my tastes, you know, I have a very, very tight, it would hurt a lot. I'm into this. This is kind of, and again, I think it's fun. I find it amazing that there's so many different, you know, you just search for New Japan. The fact that there's a whole bunch of different other ones. All right, what's the name of the site again?
So this is archiveofourown.org.
Okay. All right.
So maybe if listeners want to pick out a few choice ones, we can have story time.
We can have story time.
Damon and Joel. Now, conversely, I would also like to have a look, see the bottom of the barrel terms of these rated stories. So I'm going all the way to page 50 to see what the worst rated ones are. Yeah.
I think we got one.
So right at the bottom, practically unpractical. Your relationship wasn't the most conventional, but it worked for you. And this is featuring Chuck Taylor. So a Chuck Taylor fanfic here.
Oh my god.
Got one with Kanemaru and Desperado.
Oh.
Choking, leash play, mildly dubious content. El Desperado's girlfriend is a little too interested in his tag partner, Kanemaru.
Oh.
We've got sickened. She can't stay away from evil, from what evil does to her. Despite her fear, she finds herself returning to his dungeon. Oh, so evil's got a dungeon in this one.
We got a little S&M going on here, right? Okay.
Yeah.
In the hobby, it's not easy being a fan of ripping packs or repacks. We hype ourselves up thinking, maybe I can pull a Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card, but with zero transparency on available cards and hit rates, it's all just a shot in the dark. Until now. Introducing Slab Packs from ArenaClub.com, the only repack that provides real value, a complete view of all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each one. Now, when I buy slab packs at Arena Club, it finally feels like I know what I'm getting. I was able to open an Arena Club slab pack, and I'll be honest, it was a lot better than what you normally do. Say you go to a card show and there's a random innocuous brown bag of cards, and yeah, you can open it and look, it's going to be junk. You know what I mean? Like, you know what you're probably going to get in those. Maybe you find that fun. And sometimes I do. Sometimes I like just opening up cards and saying, "Ah, hey, look at some random cards or whatever." But if you're really in this game to find value and find particular cards, it sucks to have to buy these mystery packs. And it ends up being, you know, almost nothing. You know, nothing of value. Not with Arena Club. You get a display, again, of all available cards, hit rates, grading. So you know that when you're opening up the slab pack, you are going to get something valuable. You are getting something good. And Arena Club, in addition to having those great slab packs we just talked about, is also a marketplace for card collecting, buying, trading, selling, displaying, all that sort of stuff. But those Arena Club slab packs, man, they are revolutionizing the repack game with transparency. After your pulls are revealed, they'll immediately be placed in your vault for safekeeping or trading and selling, and you can have them officially graded by Arena Club as well. So again, setting these things off, it's going to be officially graded by Arena Club. And the Arena Club grading process is accurate, fast, and transparent, with full grade rationale provided and explanation of how your card was scored. So whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform that you have to check out. So right now, I've got a special offer here for Voices of Wrestling Network listeners. You can get 10% off of your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Again, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Now, that's a crazy offer. That's 10% off a $400 slab pack. $40 off right there. 10% off your first purchase. No matter what that purchase is, 10% off. Off. Again, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet, arenaclub.com/VOWnet for 10% off your first purchase on Arena Club. And we thank them for sponsoring the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. What's going on, guys? This is Rich from the Flagship Podcast here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. If I could have a moment of your time, I'd like to tell you about one of our sponsors, Eufy Video Lock. Eufy Video Lock is a smart lock, a 2K camera, and a doorbell, all 3-in-1, offering you triple security. So you can have everything in one device rather than installing many pieces on your front door. But it's not just for security. The Eufy Video Lock is also for convenience. No more concerns about losing keys, and you can assign passwords to your family members and see them coming back home via the integrated cameras. Some other great features we love about the Eufy Video Lock is it is easy to install and set up with just a Phillips screwdriver. No drilling required. Keyless entry. No more fumbling for keys when your hands are full. You never have to worry about kids losing keys or passing among renters. You also have 0.3 second fingerprint recognition and 1 second unlocking. Again, 0.3 seconds, it's going to recognize your fingerprints, and in 1 second, it's going to unlock. And with the AI self-learning chip embedded, the more you use it, the more accurate it will be. Also, no battery anxiety. You have a rechargeable battery in there that could last around 4 months, and you will get a low battery notification before it runs out. Passcode unlocking, a remote control with a 2K clear sight, see who's at your door, and control from anywhere through the Eufy app. With enhanced night vision, you can have optimized view even in the evening. You can also secure your package delivery by view and two-way audio. And then best of all, no monthly fee. A bunch of other brands out there are going to charge you a monthly fee. You have your recordings locally and you never have to pay for storage. Customer service, Eufy's got you handled as well. They are on standby for you 24/7, so you can enjoy a worry-free experience with an 18-month warranty, all backed by their professional customer service team. Contact them anytime by telephone, email, or live chat. Personally, as a homeowner, I love my Eufy Video Lock. I have the ability to see what's going on when I'm not home, when packages has arrived, and really the thing I love the most about it, the ease of being able to lock and unlock my doors without having to fumble with my keys, reach in my pocket, or wait, no, crap, they're in my backpack, all that sort of stuff. All this is happening while my dogs are barking at me. You know what? Not anymore with the Eufy Video Lock. I touch it. 0.3 second fingerprint recognition, 1 second. Door is unlocked. Much, much easier. So if you want to jump on board with Eufy Video Lock, search Eufy Video Lock. That is E-U-F-Y Video Lock. Again, that's Eufy Video Lock, E-U-F-Y Video Lock, or visit eufyofficial.com/videolock to see how you can gain complete control of your door.
We've got another Chuck Taylor one at the bottom here.
Really? Chuck Taylor? Get
yeah, we've got Flip Gordon slash female character. Flip Gordon helps out a new employee.
Wow.
She doesn't have a name, just female character.
Female X. This is amazing. I mean, again, we're talking about, he's, you know, Chuck Taylor getting Chucky T.
Oh, I found one I think we're going to have to read. So the title of this is Ramen. There's no description of the story, but the tags are Chase Owens / Reader, Chase Owens, Reader, and Fluffy.
Oh, fuck. Here we go. This is going to be good. Give us a little. Give us, you know how like you can sample a book a little bit in on Amazon. You know you can kind of click through a couple of the pages. This is what this is. We're teasing. We're giving little teases for people to hop in. Again, Chase Owens, Fluffy, and the name of this is Ramen. Take it away, Joel.
Yeah. All right. So there's notes here from the author. It says this is based off of Chase's outfit at the New Japan Tag League press conference 2017 and my love of ramen. So, two favourite things there. Here we go. You thought it was odd that you were ready before your boyfriend, Chase Owens, but you weren't going to complain as it meant more time with him. You were in Japan with him for a few days while he was on a tour with the Bullet Club. You managed to get a few days off of work to fly out to see him. You were looking out of the window of the hotel, taking everything in. Hey, you ready? Chase asked. It's called Chase now. So, it seems to be like from the point of view of a sort of standing character for the reader.
Okay.
So you're supposed to put yourself in the shoes of this unnamed female character who is Chase's boyfriend.
Gotcha.
Oh, and yeah, they're going for a night out down the izakaya with Tama Tonga, the rest of the Bullet Club boys.
All right, nice. A lot of black t-shirts. A lot of black t-shirts.
No, this one's very short.
Is it?
What Chase had in mind was your favorite thing, ramen. You fell in love with ramen on one of your first trips to Japan with him, and ever since, it's been something you guys did when you visited. Yay, ramen, you giggled. Chase gave you a smile. Of course, did you think we weren't going for ramen while you were here? He kissed your cheek.
Oh.
You guys talked and ate for what felt like hours. Everything was perfect when you were with him. You smiled at him. You know I love you, right? He smiled back. Probably not as much as you love ramen.
Ah.
You both laughed. And that's the end of the story. What a wholesome story.
That is... Like, I was waiting for a little fisting going on. For the fisting angle to pop on it. Yeah, that's just a simple... But that got low rated?
Yeah.
Ah.
I think this is nice.
Yes!
It's a nice story.
Yeah.
Well done, the Mrs. Maria. You've written a lovely short story, but a nice one.
See, I like the short ones. You know what I mean? Like, you can barrel through a couple of them and feel... Yeah, see, listen. I like this a lot. I think this is... I think... on the whole, I think this is, again, not something that I would even know was here in this world, but it's opened my eyes to some creative writing and some sexual... See, here's the problem, though. Now we're going to get into a weird area. But I have questions.
I'm still reading the Okada ice cream one.
Is it good? Does it get sexy?
It's good.
Yeah? Can you give me...
Okada ate another big spoonful of ice cream, then another. In the moment he tasted each bite, he was satisfied, so satisfied beyond belief. But none of them were enough. He couldn't leave any for Gedo. He needed all of it.
Yeah.
Every bit of ice cream in that pint. Okada furiously shoveled bite after bite of ice cream into his mouth, his mind bubbling and blurred with heady bliss. He started to get a headache, but he didn't care. All he wanted was more ice cream. He had to eat every last bite.
Wow.
Oh, there's a picture in here. There's an illustration.
Wow. Now, ice cream's a metaphor.
Can you see it?
Ice cream's a metaphor for cock, right? I'm just so I'm clear, right?
Well, it's interesting you say that because I thought these were going to be so filthy. I'd actually downloaded an app on my phone called Bleep Button. So what I was expecting to be doing is like, Okada got out his massive and placed it inside Shinsuke's and then proceeded to... I thought that's what I was going to have to do, but I was not expecting this. We've got some really interesting pieces of fiction here.
Yeah, I mean, the ice cream angle is the illustration is actually really kind of cool. I mean, just in general, like it is Okada eating what appears to be ice cream, but like with the little things coming off of it, I thought they were flies hovering around green shit. But all right, I mean, even the illustration's kind of cool. Look, this has turned out to be a pleasant surprise. This has turned out to be a pleasant surprise. You know, I had some people text me, and they were like, "Man, what are you guys going to do for your show?" I was like, well, you know, we're just going to, you know, play it by ear, see what happens, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, well, why don't you do like a career retrospective of one guy? And I'm like, nah, nobody would be into that.
We're gonna that involves doing research. I'm not doing that.
Right. Are you kidding me? We're doing this. This is what we do. You could go do a fucking 9-match history run of fucking Yuji Nagata. We got the fucking fan fiction. We got ice cream and dog collars and fisting. That's what we bring to the table, kids. Let me do this. All right, let's make people uncomfortable. Can we do that? Can we make some people uncomfortable? Type in that search box.
Read to me,
Kevin Kelly.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
let's have some fun with this. Is there a Kevin Kelly fan fiction?
If there isn't, you know what I'm going to be doing for the rest of the week.
Right. Get out that quill. Please let there be one.
Okay, now I'm going to have to put Kevin Kelly in quotation marks, right. I think.
Let's see here.
Okay, we've got one result.
Oh!
This is called You Want Some? The king himself, Minoru Suzuki, has his sights set on everyone, from the young lions to the commentary team to his doomed opponents across the ring. His blood cries out for their pain, and he won't be sated until they've all bowed to the king. So tags here, we got Suzuki Minoru / Various, Hiroshi Tanahashi, Kevin Kelly, Jay White, Okada, Kenny Omega, erotic violence, non-consensual kissing, sadism, masochism, terror, threats, potential G1 spoilers, G1 read with caution, and hair pulling.
Wow, Kevin.
So which of those things do you think Kevin is in store for?
Oh, I think the anything where he's getting beaten or whipped or fear. Come on. How long is this? You just got to be. Give me a taste. Give us, because I know people are just dying to hear this one.
Okay. it's quite long. There's multiple pages. So I'm going to have to go to the next chapter.
Okay.
Are we doing a control F and trying to find Kevin?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
See if he's in trouble.
Yes. I'm going to see what. Uh-oh. That laugh doesn't mean.
Chapter 2.
All right.
Chapter 2. Heart-stopping Kevin Kelly. Kevin Kelly made a point to always avoid eye contact with Minoru Suzuki. Whenever the famed sadist passed nearby, he would freeze. Unlike his broadcast partner, Don, who would flee about 3 rows back at the speed of light, falling silent, praying fervently that his presence would go unnoticed, like a quiet mouse who'd stumbled onto a lion's path.
Yes.
Tonight, however, he got caught under a set of vicious paws. So that's just the start of it.
Well, Kev, you got some light reading on the plane trip. That's for sure. That'll make the time just fly by. Wow.
Wow.
That's good.
There's something for everyone here.
There's none of us, right?
Look. I don't know if I want to myself.
I do. I want to see. I want to be there. You know what? I'd be fucking pissed off if there's not. Okay. Oh, my God. That laugh
right,
scared
let me search.
Actually. Yeah.
Right. What am I searching? Damon McDonald.
Okay. Oh my God, I'm excited. It better be something. I better be sucking somebody off. No?
No.
Ah!
No.
Fuck.
We have not made it yet.
God damn it.
We won't know that we're in the big leagues until someone writes a fan fiction.
Yeah. I need. We know what we should do, Joe. We should have a contest. We should have our own little contest. And whoever writes the best fan fiction, we'll give a prize, right? I got a fucking...
What, so the listeners write fan fiction about us?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, Christ.
Listen, we all got to pass the time.
We should have left this forbidden door closed.
This door is wide open from the fisting. Let's do that. I have various t-shirts unopened. I have a pair of Bushi slippers. Hey, let's make this. So I have a pair of like slippers, bedroom slippers, right? That would be erotic, right? That would be, you know, they're black and they're Bushi. It's Bushi. I could give them away. We'll give away something. We'll give away a good prize. And we'll have the first annual Super J-Cast Erotic Fiction Awards. Hmm? Hmm?
Does it have to be erotic? Can it just be any kind?
No, it has to be absolutely. I mean, it can be anything. But I'll just let you know right out of the bat. Fucking, it's erotic's winning, right? I mean, you got so you can write whatever you want, but just know that if it's not erotic, it's probably not going to place high, right? That'd be good. Oh, I'm excited. Are you excited? See what happened?
I am excited. I'm excited and I'm aroused.
Right. I mean, God damn it. Kevin Kelly's got one. Why can't we have one? Be nice.
Yeah, I'm not quite ready to put myself on the same level as Kevin Kelly. But
good point.
There you go.
He is sexy.
Well, let me ask you this, Dave.
All right.
As you would say.
Yes.
All this, if listening to all this erotic fan fiction talk has not got you in the mood for some loving, what is your advice to our good listeners out
there? That's a great question. Look, I know you and you know me, and we have solutions for just about any issue that you might have. And this podcast has afforded us the opportunity and the wherewithal to share information with our listeners, right? So, like, if you were to guess, here's the problem. Here's the problem in a nutshell. If you got a problem with the old ED, you know what I'm talking about, right? Doesn't work. Things just aren't what they used to be, right? Did you know, just if you needed to get this taken care of, that the average, on average, how many days people in the U.S. have to wait to see a doctor, just in general, especially now with this coronavirus going around. I can't get a to see a doctor if my life depended upon it, it seems like. Do you know how what the average is, though, even without this coronavirus going around? Do you know how many days Americans on average have to wait to see a doctor, Joel?
Yes, I do.
Do you? You know the exact number?
Yeah, it's 29.
You are absolutely correct. You're reading the same thing I am, and that is smart by you. Right, 29 days to see a doctor in major U.S. cities, and Lord knows what it is now, right? So if you're dealing with a condition like erectile dysfunction, you kind of want treatment ASAP. Not kind of, you do. And that's why our friends at Roman, we spent years, building a digital platform that can connect you with a doctor licensed in your state, all from the comfort of your home. Ah, how great is that? Great job, Roman. Roman makes it convenient to get the treatment you need on your schedule. Just grab your phone or your computer, complete a free online visit, and you'll hear back from a U.S. licensed physician within 24 hours. And if the doctor decides that the treatment is right for you, Roman's Pharmacy can ship your medication to you with free two-day shipping. I say free two-day shipping. You also get free unlimited follow-ups with your doctor anytime you have questions or want to adjust your treatment plan. With Roman, no commitments. You can cancel at any time. So if you are struggling with ED, listen, many gentlemen are. We get it. We're not judging. We're not shaming. It's an important thing. Got to take care of that, right? If you're struggling with ED, here's where you want to go. GetRoman.com/VOW. That's GetRoman.com/VOW. Voices of Wrestling for a free online visit and a free two-day shipping. Again, that's GetRoman.com/VOW for a free online visit and free two-day shipping. Look, you'd be silly not to do it. If it's an issue, get it taken care of. No waiting around. Online, on your time, on your schedule, at home. No brainer. Get on it. It's Roman. Roman.com.
Nicole's written in with a question and says, I just got a premature download error from the Pacific League streaming service. Do you think Roman can prescribe a pill for that?
I don't know. They have a lot of, actually, they do hair loss
right? So some gentlemen go through some treatments, and that medication can be pretty expensive. I know that they have that. Again, the erectile dysfunction, which is at one point. See, I you're going to laugh. I know people who actually use the service. I'm asking for a friend, and they swear by it. Like they love it, and you know, again, it's the convenience of not having to go to the doctor and get it prescribed. And then some of these prescriptions are just crazy expensive, especially when you can't get a generic. So yeah, I mean, this Roman, it's not like, when you said we had it, I was like, I know who these people are, because I have a friend who actually uses it, and he tells me all the time how much he loves it and how much he enjoys the service. So great job by Roman. We are proud to have you as sponsors with the Super J Cast.
Speaking of hair transplants, I was watching something earlier on New Japan World. This was Chaos School. Let me find the exact title of it. It's a Tori Yano talk show. So this is the gist of this being that Yano is a teacher and he's got some of the Chaos boys in his classroom, and it's kind of like a schoolroom format. It's not an erotic fan fiction, but I want to send you a picture of Sho Tanaka, future ace Sho, and I want you to critically assess his haircut.
All right, let's wait for this to come out from outer space. Alrighty. Oh, you sent it directly to me. Okay, there we go. He to get a bowl of soup with that haircut. I'm not like one, it looks like the suit doesn't fit him, right? Looks like he borrowed it from fucking Gino. Two, there's something weird about the haircut. It's like, again, like a bowl of soup haircut. And a little very schoolboy-y. Okay. All right. Well, again, looks like a school uniform, right? I think that's the look we're going for here.
I don't know if I can recommend watching this talk show.
Yeah.
Because it's quite boring in parts. It's like got them doing calligraphy and having thumb wars and show talking about protein for like the first 20 minutes. And there's one part in it where Yano gives them various products of his, and he tells them that they have to try and sell his product, like cut a promo on the product,
okay.
For the product. So he gives Sho his hamburger curry. And Sho, you can't even cut a promo on a damn hamburger curry.
No.
Maybe this is just me. Actually, it's not, because I know it's something that Nicole's mentioned as well. This man has a charisma problem.
Oh, you think so?
He cannot cut a promo to save his life.
Boy, you know, that was always one of the biggest things that people would tell me with Ishii, him being a guy that, and even Goto to a certain degree, people would tell me that the promos were an issue of issue. And again, I don't.
So they just took all these guys like Goto and Ishii and Yoshihashi and Sho and just put them all in one faction together.
Yeah. Yeah, the boring sods. Has he really had an opportunity to break out and shine, though? I mean, listen, I can't judge him on the fact that he can't fucking cut a promo on a package of curry. But, I mean, I'm not ready to fucking write him off yet, right? I mean, we still got.
No, I just think it might be a problem going forward. I think he's significantly less charismatic than Yo.
Really? Yeah, you know what?
Yo's a little cheeky chappy.
Right.
He's got that sly little smirk.
Yep.
And he's quite quick-witted. He's got a sharp tongue. You know, he's got an answer for everything. Good sense of humor.
Yeah. Yo reminds me of that one. Joe, you sent me a picture before of your class. And there was this one kid who was like, I guess it was like, make a funny face, everybody, you know? And everybody's like, yeah, sticking their tongue out and being, you know, silly. And this one kid is bent over, like, showing his bum, you know, and kind of has this fucking smirk on his face. Like, that kid reminds me of Yo. So yeah, I see that. Yeah, I see that. Then why do? All right, maybe I should take this back. Why do I think that show is the star of the team? And am I wrong?
I don't know at this point. I think show has been given all the cool spots and the big matches, mm-hmm. and he's had that sort of mini program with Shingo, and the tag matches that Roppongi 3K had with Shingo and Bushi seemed primarily to focus on show and Shingo, and then there was that big show Shingo match in the Best of the Super Juniors. And show's been given a lot of big singles opportunities. He made it to the, was it the semi-finals of the Super J Cup last year? Mm-hmm. And I think he main evented more of the Best of the Super Juniors
right.
than Yo. I could be wrong there, but I do seem to recall him getting put in bigger spots than Yo.
Yeah. Do you think that's a pressure thing? Do you think Yo might just be like, ah, fuck it. Now I don't, you know, I'm going to kind of just let my hair down and see where it flies. And he doesn't have a pressure that maybe Sho has?
It could be. I just wonder if Yo might not be thinking, my tag team partner here is getting all the attention, uh-huh. and everyone's talking about him being the future ace. He's getting all the big spots. But I'm just going to sit back here with quiet confidence,
right.
knowing in the faith in my own ability that when the time comes, I am going to be able to take my shot and make the most of it.
Your gut reaction. Give me odds. Give me a split of how confident you are of who breaks out as the marquee star for New Japan Pro Wrestling. Sho or Yo?
I would say 60-40 in favor of Sho.
Okay.
So I still think it is more likely that Sho is being successful.
Right.
But I am quietly confident also in Yo's ability to make a splash.
Do you see them breaking up, splitting up, finding a way in the next? Because that's
they should. They're boring together. It's run its course, hasn't it?
We say that, and it's, you know, it is sort of the natural progression. Like when you get past 6 months, and this might be impatience on our part. But it feels like you get past 6 months, it's like, okay, break up now. And, you know, everybody's already plotting. Okay, this guy's going to go this way. This guy's going to go that way. And that's the way this is going to eventually turn out. So let's fast forward. But that's what's happened.
They've done a lot, though. They've won 3 Super Junior Tag Leagues, right. Tag tournaments.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's been, what, 2.5 years now?
Seems like it's been longer than that, doesn't it? I don't know if that's a good thing saying.
Yeah, it was late 2017, wasn't it, when they returned?
Yeah. I don't know. You might have them for a little bit longer, to be honest. Like, that's not a huge amount of time. I mean, in a pro wrestling world,
there's no one else as well.
No, there really isn't.
I mean, who else is there in the junior tag division?
I mean, but they can. I think they can easily find ways to change that. I don't think that would be too difficult. But yeah, but right here as we sit here, you know, they're probably leading the pack, right when it comes to keeping that afloat. But here's the thing, though. It's kind of like the people like that you work with, that you really like and you enjoy, and they do good work and all that stuff. Like, they have an opportunity to grow and to move on and to better themselves. I mean, you wouldn't want to hold them back just because you got nothing else in, you know what I mean? Like, you're going to, you know, sit here in the mud with us, you know, oh, okay, you know, and stifle your growth. I would hate that for to be the reason. We have nothing left in junior, so you got to stay. Or, you know, as a junior tag, so, you know, I would hate for that to be the reason for them to not grow. I guess that's really what I look for. Like, everybody has the idea that they're world champion material. And you kind of have to have that feeling and that mindset to get to where they are. But, like, I just want to see people grow. Like, and I think that's one of the reasons why I thoroughly enjoy, like, the Young Lions system. And I thoroughly enjoy Maybe not all the time, like Jay White, in the sense of, okay, in the ring, sometimes he disappoints. He doesn't give me exactly what I need, blah, 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 blah. But it is a nice thing to see that growth. Juice Robinson, there's another example. And just watching him progress and progress and progress. To me, that is one of the simpler joys of New Japan Pro Wrestling, that you're not going to get that in AEW. I don't think, right? I don't think you definitely don't get that in WWE. But that again, and it's not like, oh, who's this guy who showed up and he just pins, you know, the champion, you know, that kind of shit. It's a realistic, steady growth that I really enjoy about New Japan, and that's what I'm looking for both Sho and Yo. And I guess I should be a little bit more patient, but yeah, I mean, it would be nice to see that. Kind of, I think it's run its course, and I would love to see new things and new challenges for both of them. And I think that we have, you know, when we talk about, you know, Sho challenging Shingo and that dynamic that kind of blossomed in the early 2020. That's another thing, man. What the fuck? Again, we opened this show with, they were on a roll, man. This company was on a roll, and we just had to step. We jammed on the brakes for a nice, fun, enjoyable 2020. And right now, and we don't know when this is going to end. I mean, we hope by the end of the month, but nobody knows. And we just put the brakes on. And I will say this: we will look back, Joel. You will look back on these shows 20 years from now. With however you listen to shit 20 years from now, and you'll be like, oh my god, we went through one of the weirdest times in pro wrestling history, especially in Japan. Like, we're going through maybe the weirdest time in the history of Japanese pro wrestling right now.
It's also permeating other sports as well. I'm just looking, Arsenal's match against Man City has been postponed. The Italian Football League Serie A, that's been suspended as well. So it just seems across the board that there's this hiatus that people are going to look back on. And obviously people are going to think, well, if we want historical context for New Japan Pro Wrestling, we listen to the Super J cast. We want to see, you know, those are two guys with their finger on the pulse and, you know, really a barometer for the mood of the fans at this point. Crack on the episode. What are they talking about? Erotic fan fiction. So,
right. 2 weeks in a row. Well, again, that's the dire straits that we're in. You know what I mean? Like, this is a troubling time. Yeah, every day you wake up and it's like, oh, they canceled the St. Patrick's Day parades in New York or in Boston. And I mean, listen, when you're canceling a St. Patrick's Day parade in Boston, you know the shit's hit the fucking fan. Ain't going to stop them from drinking. That won't happen. But again, Boston, St. Patrick's Day? Geez, that's a thing. That is definitely a thing. And when you shut that down, San Jose, you can't have things over 1,000 people. Philadelphia has recommended that, you know, they do the same. So, again, these major sports franchises who have home games are trying to sort it all the fuck out. And you know, they're canceling football games now. And, again, South by Southwest, a massive music festival, canceled. They're talking about Coachella. You see that, Joel? They're talking about, I don't even know if they have or they haven't at this point. But, you know, Coachella is a massive music festival in California. And they're talking about either moving the dates or postponing it or all that. And this is worldwide. It's unbelievable what we're going through right now. And I've never lived through anything like this. I mean, we had SARS and, you know, bird flu and stuff like that. But it was never like this. It was this is an amazing thing that we're doing right now.
Well, some other news came out today, actually, Damon. We got ticket details revealed for Wrestle. Are you Dynasty or Dynasty?
I'm a Dynasty guy.
Okay, so tickets Details revealed for Wrestle Dynasty / Dynasty at Madison Square Garden. So they're going to go on sale Friday, April 10th. Pre-sale Wednesday, April the 8th. Tickets start at just $20. And just great looking job at the ticket pricing, ringside seats. So ringside A is $500. Ringside B, $300. Floor A, $200. Floor B, $150. So this pricing is pretty similar to Wrestle Kingdom, isn't it? So do you think we can expect a Wrestle Kingdom level card?
Yes. Yes. I mean, we were told in not so many words that, you know, this will be Wrestle Kingdom-esque, right? They're not trotting out. This is not a road to new beginning in the middle of schmozy Georgia, right? This is a big show. I'm very happy that at the very least they've made some tickets affordable, right? $20 to see any event in Madison Square Garden. Look, you're in the building. You'll see a ring. you'll have the Super J-Cast VIP last row in the arena. We know that one, right, Joel?
The takeover special.
But you're in the building for $20.
Is he staring at his hands? I can't see from here. Get the binoculars out.
Right. Are they even in the ring right now? What is that? You know what I think about a lot with that show, and I don't think a lot about it, but again, we talked about it when it happened, is there were like this guy in front of us who was just reacting to everything in the most just positive freak out. And I was like, I wish I could enjoy something as much as this dude. I think about that guy a lot. I think about that dude a lot. Anyway,
I remember like sort of Pete Dunne lifting up Walter, and he's like, "Oh my god, how can he lift it?" Like every single spot was just blew his little mind, didn't it?
Yeah, and he had to be in his 20s, right? At least, right?
Old enough to know better. But then again, I say that, and there's me losing my shit at the Tokyo Dome because Naito went out the top rope. So
Cheryl still talks about that, by the way. She says, "Oh my god, he was so happy and into it." I was like, "Yeah, listen, that was a big build. That was a nice." And I said, "You know, that was a movie he doesn't necessarily do all the time, and the fact that he pulled it out, you know, to win this match, you know, or to you know set up to win this match, it was a big deal." So, all right, tickets. That's good. $20, great. Yeah, we knew, but I told you. You know you're going to be, they're going to be expensive. And I will say this. That's face value of those tickets. So Ticketmaster has this really ridiculous thing where they will then take those tickets and put a premium charge on them based off of the fact that they can gouge everyone. So don't be surprised that those $500 tickets, you know, when they're in your shopping cart, they're more along the lines of like $6, $7, $8 for a fucking ticket. Don't be surprised. So, again, we knew it was coming. I told you to save your pennies. I told you March would be the time that we would hear an announcement. April on sale. Don't fuck me over with tickets, but wait till I get them. But this is, start saving your fucking pennies, right? You knew this was happening. I want this building to be sold out. And do it quickly, all right? Let's prove a point here.
Just a quick thing as well. I did put out a call for match recommendations, and we've got about 40 of them so far. So David and I will curate that list and maybe come with a short list for next week's episode. We'll let you know which matches we've chosen, and maybe you can watch along as well, and it can be like a wrestling book club, if you like.
That sounds fun. I mean, I think we all would like that, and I know there's plenty of lists, and I appreciate everybody kind of giving us their recommendations as well. I mean, again, it would be a nice... Some of this stuff, I guarantee you, I probably won't even remember watching. The major matches, I definitely will, but yeah, might be nice to take a walk down a memory lane, and Joel, you know, I'm sure you've seen most of them, but maybe a couple that you have fallen off your radar, so it'd be nice. We'll do that, and we'll probably do that next week and talk a little bit more about the classic New Japan Pro Wrestling matches.
I don't know if you had a chance to read this interview with Tiger Hattori on the website, but there's some amazing quotes in here. He's talking about when Giant Bernard was introduced to New Japan. So Tiger Hattori says, "There are a few people in the company who weren't exactly welcoming at that time. Anyway, I went to Roppongi and there were a lot of foreign wrestlers hanging out there who were being booked by All Japan. Bernard and that guy, oh, what's his name? Annoying guy. Works in ROH, wears street clothes when he wrestles." Bully Ray. Yeah, him and his partner Devon. There were quite a few guys who wanted to work in New Japan. When Tenryu wrestled, so this is a question. When Tenryu wrestled in NJPW in the late 90s, Ishii was his attendant. So maybe that's how you remember meeting a teenage Ishii. And then Hattori says, perhaps. Who else? I think Sanada is doing good. He's a weird one. I can never figure out whether he doesn't think about a thing or whether he thinks about everything.
Wow.
He spends quite a lot of money on his look, no? So he's going in two-footed on Sanada there.
That might be the best quote I've ever heard about Sanada, though. Like the fact that I can't tell if he's not thinking at all or he's thinking about everything. That is a great quote. That might be the absolute perfect way to describe him. Tiger Hattori, man, he's seen some shit. All right, yeah, keep going. I'm sorry.
There's one about Chase Owens. He says he's so good, great worker, but his face and body aren't. I'm always looking at his gut when he's in the ring. If he could do something about his face and his body, he'll be over like crazy.
Oh, but everybody does kind of look at that little paunch he's got. That makes Chase. Oh shit, Tiger Hattori,
lovely boy to go out for ramen with.
See, a little peck on the cheek. That was I. You know what? I'm going to think about that story all day. I mean, that was just, you know, that was maybe one of the most romantic little short blurbs. I don't know. That touched me. The ramen. How did that get low? You know what? Fuck that. I'm getting an account and I'm giving that 5 stars. I'm
yeah, everyone listening, make an account. Yes. Give it some kudos. Yes. Get it out there.
Yes. Yeah. Get an account. Upvote that fucking ramen. That deserves it. Those animals downvoting that fine piece. That deserves it. Let's give that piece the Super J Cast bump. All right? Let's all, you know what? We're all a little sad. We're all a little, you know, missing the product. We all got shit going on. Let's make someone happy. You don't want to do that? You know, we talk a good game. Let's put our money where our mouths are. I want everybody to sign up for a fucking account. Where do they got to go, Joel? What's, again, the name of the site?
Archive of Our Own.
Thank you so much. Thank you. And then, you know, do whatever you got to do. Build an account. Give that search for that ramen, Chase Owens. Give that some love. That deserves our love for that person to open up their heart and write such a delicate. That is a delicate piece. That's a delicate piece right there. Good stuff. All right. Doing good in the world.
One last quote from Tiger Hattori here. So he's asked about the dojo. And Tiger says, not just the Japanese dojo, but guys from abroad as well. Then you've got Katsuyori Shibata teaching the young kids really well in America too. You come through the dojo system and you're good to work absolutely anywhere in the world. That's what the WWE would like to be able to do with their performance centers, right? There's a lot of people that were brought up in Japan that can be a success in the States, but the other way around, that's not common at all.
Yeah. I mean, hit nail right on the head, right? That performance center, while it is state of the art with equipment and training and all that, I'll take that New Japan dojo any day of the week when I want to see a pro wrestler. And I think the proof is in the pudding. And I think Tiger Hattori is spot on. Once again, he's 3 for 3 with the quotes. You know what? I think everybody should got to check out that interview. That sounds pretty great. Sounds like a guy who's got his head screwed on just right. I like that.
Another little tidbit here is dates for Best of Super Juniors 27 have been announced, which begins 12th of May in Korakuen Hall. And the final on 6th of June in Ota General Gymnasium. There are 19 shows on the entire tour, which likely means 2 blocks and 20 entrants like last year. With the caveat being, you know, we don't know how this virus situation is going to play out,
right.
But there you go. You got your Best of Super Juniors dates anyway. And still no Yoyogi.
Yeah. Yoyogi Hall. That's the building, right? For the finals. I haven't been there. I don't even know where the fuck it's at, to be honest with you. I know it's in Yoyogi. I'm looking at my phone while recording. There is a meeting, Joel, with the city officials and government officials. Take a guess where this meeting is being held.
I don't know. Tell me.
All right. How about that Tampa, Florida? I think we're going to have some shit going down with that weekend that people are not going to like. You got 90,000 people, you know, that are converging in on Tampa Bay from all over the world. And they are having a meeting today with government officials to discuss what are we going to do. And what is this? How long do we have here? WrestleMania is what? Less than a month away? 2 weeks away? 3 weeks away? Oh, boy. Imagine if this meeting turns out to be not a recommendation, we're pulling the plug. Holy moly. I mean, we'll know by the time people listen to the show if the shit hits the fan. But, I mean, I look, New Japan has a ton of people going over there. A ton. They got to be sitting there like, whoa, is this a good idea? Everybody running these. And here's the thing. All those independent promotions that run that weekend, they put a lot of time, blood, sweat, and tears throughout the entire year. And it is on, I will say right now, Joel, thin ice.
And I suppose that would go for the New Japan, was it the Lions Break show there as well?
Yeah. Yeah. Whew, this is not good, man. Can you imagine the meltdown? Not the meltdown, but, well, yeah, the meltdown. If they said, okay, we're not doing Mania. We can't risk it. Could you imagine? That would really suck. You know what? As much as I bitch and moan about WWE, that weekend is a fun weekend. I love sitting at home, watching all these shows, just immersing yourself in pro wrestling. That's fun. I hope and pray that they make it through this. But oof, it don't to me, and I don't know shit. Let that be noted. And again, we'll know the answers by the time people listen to this. Oh my God, I hope and pray that don't happen.
Sticking with the topic of US wrestling, there have been some New Japan entrants announced for the Ring of Honor Pure Title Tournament. So the Pure Title was a special title that they used to have following special rules. Close fist punches were illegal. Each competitor is allowed 3 rope breaks to stop submission holds and pinfalls. After that, any on or under the ropes would be legal. So, excuse me. We have Jay Lethal, Doug Williams, Jonathan Gresham, Alex Shelley, Rocky Romero, Mark Haskins, Slex, Tracy Williams, Marty Scurll, Fred Yehi, Yuji Nagata, Joe Hendry, Dalton Castle, Ren Narita, Josh Woods, and Tony Deppen. So we've got the New Japan representation there from Rocky, Nagata, and Ren Narita. So I think that'll be quite a fun tournament.
Yeah. I mean, look, they got some names in there that I don't think people expected, right? To freshen it up a little bit. Look, you got to tip your cap to Ring of Honor. They're trying. They recognize that they had slipped, and they're doing a I would say a real good job of at least making it, at least getting people to look at their product again, get them interested and get them talking. No, I think that's a fun tournament. I think it's in Columbus and Pittsburgh. Or am I wrong in that? That's one you might want to go out of your way if you're in the area. That should be a fun couple shows.
Well, that's it as far as news goes. I do have a extremely pregnant and hungry wife who wants to eat food now. Nice. So I could try and do some questions, but it could be mildly dangerous. Yeah. I'd be playing with fire a bit there.
Yeah, I say. Nah, I say go get, you know, listen, you don't want to tempt fate, right? you're walking on eggshells as it is. So let's wrap it up. We can always do questions later, of course, next week. And then, again, we'll talk a little bit.
Also, most of the questions were shit, to be fair. So you're not missing out, listeners.
Yeah, there you go. All right, so that's that. I think we did a good job here with what cards we were dealt. So excellent job by you, sir, as always. A well-deserved little break this week. And listen, if news breaks... Again, I don't expect to be the first person that you text, but me, you know, maybe first three, if you don't mind. You know, make me feel a little more, right?
Certainly will. Okay, so redcircle.com/shows/super-j-cast if you want to throw some money our way, help me out with the impending childcare. Discord link is in the show notes, prowrestlingtees.com/superjcast. Thank you to editor Dan. You can find him on Twitter at lousyhero219. Subscribe to the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network for other great shows. Give us a 5-snake review on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter @SuperJCast. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and goodbye.